Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 75 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversations and then offer it to the masses. My name's September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Linda.
Hello.
And the Jen.
Hi.
Please remember, folks, that the Geek Grills podcast is supported solely by our patrons. You can support us today by going to www.patreon.com/grills. So, what you been up to this geeky week, Jen?
Playing a lot of video games. Yeah, a lot. like hours of video games. Mostly playing PUBG with friends, which is really fun. That game is just really annoying, though, because it makes me all twitchy. Like, I get done playing it, and I hear noises, and I'm like, oh God, like, I've got to jump. So it's a little bit weird, because you go through all this work, and you loot, and then at the end, and then you maybe get, like, one chance to, like, fight with another person. So it's kind of a weird, it's just a weird game, but it's fun. I also got Civ 6. By the way, if you don't have Civ 6, it's in the February Humble Bundle. So you can pre-order your Humble Bundle and get it now, which is a cool thing because it's normally $60 and you get some of the DLC stuff too. Anyway, been playing hours and hours and hours of Civ 6. Like, just never... Not too much.
Civ's like that. Be careful.
Be careful. It's done. Like, it's done. Like, I can't. I'll be like, oh, one more turn. 4 hours later, it was like 487 more turns. It's fine. Yeah, it's a real problem. But also, I downloaded Arena of Valor on my phone. God damn it, Scott Johnson. You're a big butthole for recommending that a week ago. Because I don't need any more time sync. So it's not bad enough that I'm playing Civ 6 every time I'm in front of my computer. But now I have basically a League of Legends equivalent on my phone. It plays so well. They designed it so well. Like, I can actually play really easily. And it's like a shorter MOBA. It's shorter than like a normal desktop League of Legends game. But this is a game that's made by Tencent Games, which Riot bought Tencent Games. And so basically they're letting them do... some of the characters are straight right from League of Legends, or they're complete ripoffs of League of Legends, just gender swapped, which is kind of cool, actually, in some cases. And then other than that, they're really hardcore on people that leave games. So you have to keep all your ratings good. Otherwise, they've designed it really well. You can play like, okay, I want a 5-minute game. Okay, I want like a 15 or 20 minute game. So I've basically been playing it during all my breaks at work, which is, yeah. I now have games whenever I want, which is good and or bad. And then I did get a chance to finally watch, my next guest is with David Letterman on Netflix, the episode with Barack, with President Barack Obama. And it was really good. I enjoyed it. I also watched comedians driving in cars or getting coffee on the right. Whatever the fucking show is. Anyway, I've been
carpool.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't understand like the gimmick either. Like, it's like the beginning. I guess it's like Jay Leno has like a huge car collection. So anytime he does something car related, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And then I get to like, this, and it's like, okay, Jerry Seinfeld. And it's just basically him saying, this car is cool because it's like this. And they, like, never talk about the car ever again. Like, that's it. That's the whole gimmick. But they, like, I don't know. The Jim Carrey episode was kind of okay, but that was pretty much it. I don't know. It's kind of meh. But anyway, that's what I've been doing.
Okay, so not as fun as Carpool Karaoke.
it's just comedians in the car getting coffee. So they just go and get coffee and they just bullshit. And sometimes it's just weird because it's, like, not really interesting bullshit. Like, Jim Carrey has a way of, like, making any situation at least entertaining. So, but they're not all like that. Some comedians are very much... There are a bunch of, like... Yeah. There are a bunch of, like, comedians that they have to have their very specific, like, this is my set. And if, as long as they don't deviate from it, great. If they do, it's fucking terrible. And apparently that comes through a little bit in that show for me. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I've been doing. It's been fun.
But if you want, just a quick aside, if you want really funny, like, car reviews, there's a channel on YouTube called Regular Guy Car Reviews, or just Regular Car Reviews, and it's this dude who just goes and finds, like a 1974. Yes. So there's one of the, I can't remember, it's like a Corvette or something that he's doing. It's from like the 70s or the 80s. Mm-hmm. And he just, for like 5 minutes, goes on a tangent about it's so fancy. It's so fancy. And like me,
I
all
totally
my
friends have seen this.
We use that now whenever it's like, oh, that's so fancy.
Oh,
it's just,
no.
It's hilarious. I think it's called Regular Car Reviews. It's on YouTube. But I went and I saw Mary and the Witch's Flower in theaters. It was a Fathom Events. I couldn't go to the theater nearest me. I had to go up to Kennesaw, which is only about 15 minutes away, so it's not bad. And it's not Studio Ghibli anymore. The guy was from Studio Ghibli, but he's now Studio Ponoc. P-O-N-O-C. That's the studio that made that movie. Very good. Very pretty. Premise is super cute. I really enjoyed it. It was so nice. It was delightful.
I've never heard of it. I'm going to have to look that up. Thanks.
Yeah, it's very much in the Ghibli style, like Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle. It's a very pretty and I super enjoyed that. I told you that I was going to meet with my friend who I haven't seen for about 6 months. And I was incorrect. She's not becoming a life coach. She's becoming a nutritional coach, which is different. So I met with her and we were, you know, having a conversation, A, about, you know, what we've been doing for the past 6 months when we hadn't seen each other. And, you know, B, about what she's getting into and learning, because she's taking a certification course, basically, to become a nutritional coach. And we went to a brew shop, actually, that is for brewing beers. It's like, it's got the yeast and it's got the flour and the different types of things you used for brewing. And she bought wine yeast and gave me a couple of packets and said, make bread with this. It's delicious. And so I made bread with it, and with my little bread maker that my mother-in-law got me 2 years ago.
Is this the first time you used it?
Well, yes. I'm going to use it more often, though, because if you like make bread from scratch, it's better for you than buying it from the store. But it was very interesting. I can't say that it's different because I haven't made bread in the bread machine before, so I don't know if it tastes different than a bread machine. And also, I used the wrong flour. I used regular flour rather than, like, bread flour. So it was a little crumbly, but
yeah,
it's very tasty.
Flour is surprisingly important when baking.
Yeah, it's very tasty, but I think it'll be better with the correct flour.
So if it's wine yeast...
Bought bread flour, and I've made lots of bread that's fine. So,
well, yeah, you can do it, but it's a matter of mixing the right ingredients into the flour to make it the right kind.
If you're using a machine, I can see where it would probably be a lot more particular because it only it does the things at a certain time for a certain amount, right?
Yeah, without the ability to knead more gluten into it,
yeah,
it's not going to be as together, which is very obvious.
Dough hooks are wonderful.
Yeah, the blender that I want to buy has like a dough hook and like mixer component. I'm thinking I might actually end up going that route because I don't want to have 8,000 appliances. I just need like
I love my mother-in-law death, but she always buys me kitchen appliances for Christmas. Like she just got me the Instant Pot
like
this Christmas. And, like, last year she got me the air fryer. I still haven't used the air fryer. I have used the Instant Pot. I like that one a lot. It's just I'm running out of space in my kitchen for all
yeah,
of my
I understand. My I'm not much for unitaskers myself. Although I do have an air fryer, and I love it.
We don't
Except for
like,
my rice cooker. It's amazing.
I do like my rice cooker. She bought me that too.
well, can't Instant Pot, I mean, that's kind of a multitasker. You can use it as a rice cooker. You can use it almost like a crock pot, right?
Yes, and apparently you can make cheesecake in it, which I am going to attempt to do sooner or later. You can.
This is very strange.
There's a recipe for making cheesecake in the Instant Pot, so I'm going to give that a shot as well. And then
KitchenAid, and I can do. I put in the dough hook. Like, it's a mixer.
I just want a KitchenAid.
And I've got an attachment that's a grinder.
Ooh.
So when I get pork loins and I'm trimming them because I cure pea meal bacon with it, I take all the trimmings and I grind them up and I'll make, like, breakfast sausage. And, you know, I'm a little bit of a food nerd.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I've got a mixer that, again, mother-in-law. She got a new KitchenAid stand mixer, so she gave me her old one.
That's how I got mine. My mom's ex-boyfriend got a new one and gave it to me. I was like, sweet.
I'm not complaining. I love my stand mixer.
Yeah, but I never paid that for any kitchen appliance, I think. Outside of oven.
I feel like KitchenAid mixers are like one of the three things that'll be left after like the nuclear like apocalypse. Like
yeah.
It's gonna be share. Cockroaches and KitchenAid mixers.
There'll be a handful of like rosy riveter apron wearing women with KitchenAids and Kirby's.
And duct tape.
Oh, geez.
And then the last thing that I kind of was doing this week, that's like, you know, not just normal stuff, is I got started on making my Momocon products that I'm going to take with me. So I have a little Yoda.
Oh my God.
And I've got a little stormtrooper.
That's delightful.
And
I need
what
all
I,
of these things.
Well, I bought it. It's at Barnes & Noble. They have a kit, actually, that these this Star Wars crochet book made by, what is her name? Lucy Collin. She actually has a second one out now, too. It has even more patterns. But I was like, I'm going to invest in this. And then I'm going to make a bunch of them because that's going to be a really good seller.
Yeah. And I don't crochet. So you're going to have to give me a price on a set of those. I have a friend with a wedding coming up who is the Star Wars nerd. Like,
well, I'll be able to make a Yoda, a Stormtrooper, a C-3PO, Princess Leia, Wicket the Ewok, Luke Skywalker, R2-D2, Han Solo, Chewbacca, Darth Vader, Boba Fett, and Jabba the Hutt out of this book.
Sweet.
I need a Boba the Fett. Oh my God.
Boba the Fett. I will see what I can do, madam. I have to get
I just like to yell Boba the Fett. I just can't. I can never say it any other way now. Thanks, MC Chris, for ruining everything. I can't make it. Playing PUBG for hours, by the way. I literally have to make the backpack having jets joke like 8 million times while playing PUBG. It's just in my brain. Like, it'll never go away. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
So I'm just going to, whenever I have these, I'm going to have a little thing on them that says, this was made by a pattern by Lucy Collin, because I want to give her credit. Because it's a good little book.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I have decided finally.
Don't tell them until after they pay for it, though. They'll just
right,
it
of
and
course.
Go make it.
So I don't know if I showed the Ivysaur. Since I didn't get to work yesterday, he's just got his little legs on him in his face. I've decided that if whatever of these I don't manage to get donated before MomoCon, I'll sell them at MomoCon, but give the proceeds to like. Children's Healthcare of Atlanta or whatever. So they'll get a home, but then the money that they make will go to the charity.
If you don't mind,
that's awesome.
A possible suggestion. This is something I've done at jewelry shows where I've sold stuff. Is I'll have a piece that's for charity, but raffle tickets are real cheap to buy at like Staples. And
yes, I have
raffle, and then you raffle it off. Then you only have to give one away, but you can potentially raise way more for the charity, and it's a table draw.
That's true. I did do raffle tickets last year. I had a Golden Freddy that I had made from Five Nights at Freddy's.
Aww.
And, like he just I made enough money from the tickets to pay for him basically, so that was a good thing. So yeah, I could totally do that for charity.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah. You have your like that and then like your mailing list right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the clipboard queen, trust me. Okay, so what have I been up to? I started a new D&D game yesterday, playing second edition. That was different. I decided to try something really different. So I'm playing a fighter. I've never done that. I'm very caster oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took the stats I rolled, and because it was a fighter, I hit it with the con and the strength. So I ended up with like 11 intelligence and 11 wisdom. And I found it, like, I don't want to be a snob, but it was hard. Like, I'd come up with some kind of, like, I would figure something out in the plot or a way to, you know, do a certain thing we were needing to get done in this. And I was like, trying to stay in character, and like, she wouldn't think of that. She's like, not the brightest bulb in the bunch here. Like, would I realize that? You know, and I'm like, can I make a perception roll? He's like, well, I don't know. Does your character think that? Like, he's pushing RP, and I'm trying to, like, develop
hard.
My character. It's hard. I'm smart.
I LARPed that, my
I was
werewolf
the only girl
like
at
that.
The table. Like,
oh, yeah.
Well, we have one other woman who's playing, but she couldn't last night. And the way the rest of the group is responding to me. I mean, I guess I could just pretend that's in game, but it's kind of like, I'm the girl. I don't have as much, my character doesn't have as much charisma as I do in that room. Right.
Yeah. I played a werewolf once that was like this. I played it in my Arun, and I purposely made it because I was playing so much vampire, and I had all these like super, these characters that when you're LARPing them in a giant organization, it's like exhausting. It's like, mm-hmm. I was playing a Toreador. I was playing my Ventru, who was Sabbat, but it was like, then I had another cam character. So it was like, I had too much going on. It was too political, too much brains, too much thinking, all that crap. Mm-hmm. So when I went to werewolf, my friend convinced me to play. I was like, yeah, I want to play dumb warrior. Like, she is a super honorable, super like, yeah, like warrior for Gaia, woo, but also dumb as a box of rocks. Like, I didn't have to think about anything. Like, people would be like, oh, what do you think about that? I'm like, I don't know. Can I go hit stuff now? Are we done with this? Like,
yeah,
it was,
yeah,
just
like, I feel like I should have made
dumb.
Him dumber, and then I could have, that would have been easier to play if she
yeah,
was
yeah, that's
dumber.
What I did. It was great. But it's nice
really
to play something different once in a while. Now she's like one of my favorite things to play at event games. I get to go back and pick her up and run around like an asshole and hit stuff.
Well, that's like when I got burned out on playing a diplomat, because one of my first LARP characters was a big diplomat, and so I had to be like involved in everything and know what was going on. And like, it got to a point where I was like, I don't want to go to the event because it's gonna stress me out. And I was like, maybe
yeah.
I should retire this character now and move on to something else.
No, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy too, because you're just like, Jesus, like I'm here for fun. It's an event game, and like I feel like I have to like run a, like a political convention.
Yeah,
like, it's ridiculous.
I'm just now playing another diplomatic character, and I retired my old diplomat like seven or eight years ago. So I'm just now coming back to, I think I can play another diplomat.
Yeah, the other really good thing that happened is I got more motivation for sewing. Sewing up pouches for the comic book shop for the con is a thing, but like Ryan, the manager, was like, yeah, yeah, we want some. And then I was in there when the owner was there, and she was like, did you get a table this year? I'm like, oh man. Because last year when I went to the con, I got there and she didn't have my pouches out. I'd sewed like a shit ton and they were just not there. Oh, we didn't really have any room. I'm like, there's a spot right by the dice, which would make sense. And she put him out, but I felt like it was just like because I was there. So it was kind of, it felt awkward. And I really mm-hmm. love them. We have this great relationship, but I feel like they're not communicating and I'm not getting in the middle of that.
Yeah.
But I got to D&D, and one of the players is completely new to the game. One is very new to the game. And then, like,
aww.
There's me and my husband and the DM and the couple that lives there. And I think the couple that lives there doesn't have much experience, but well, compared to Rob and I, but we're nerds. But they had all these dice in, like, baggies. And I was horrified. Like, holy crap. Including the DM. And, like, Bruce has the nicest, coolest dice of it. He's got a fancy tin with these dice that he got for Christmas that are metal. Like, if you ever step on that D4, you're going to have to go to the hospital.
Ow, yeah. My husband has the same. But his are made of copper? I don't even know.
Yes, yeah, like, woo. But then he has a bunch of extra sets. I couldn't find my dice pouch, of course, because I'm always dragging around making patterns with it. And I was like, I need to borrow... I'll sit with Rob and use his die. Oh, I got a bunch of sets. So we had like 4 or 5 extra sets in baggies. So I was like, well, that's cool, because they're feeding us dinner, and he's hosting the game, and I can make pouches for everybody with fabric I got sitting at home. So next week I get to show up, and it'll motivate me to sit my ass down at the sewing machine. And, like, I know Bruce is in love with Star Wars, and Ryan is, and I have Star Wars fabric, and I have villains fabric, and Samantha's a big witch. And I don't know what the new guy likes except beer, but I'll figure something out. I got cool Zelda fabric, so I'm going to make all the cool pouches, and they can pick, and whatever is left goes to the con.
You get a pouch, and you get a pouch, yes, and you get a pouch. Everybody gets pouches.
Yeah.
I have a silver dragon brocade pouch somewhere. Yes, just not handy.
Somewhere.
No, it's not handy, because I've been playing on my Friday night game, so it's just not handy. It's on my shelf.
And yeah, my Wild West werewolf. Got the pink one.
I made one of those for Darren, too. I don't know if you've seen. He's showed it off on his stream.
Aww.
I won't be making a lot. I might make some of those, just get rid of that fabric. That fabric is a huge pain in the ass. It wants to unravel.
When
I made Jen's pouch, I had to, like, experiment with stitches to bind all the fabric before even sewing it together.
Brocade can be tricky like that. It's like, it's phrased like this. And you're like...
Yeah. And this is black, and it's got all the dragon pattern is silver thread. So it's 2 different threads, so it really wants to unravel. But it's pretty.
Brocade usually is.
Welcome to the sewing circle with Geek Grills.
Yes, sorry, that devolved a little bit.
Apparently today is all about baking and sewing, and with three progressive female nerds.
That can be geeky too, okay?
Get out my kitty ears. No. I made those suckers too.
It's totally okay. I'm just laughing that we are like three progressive nerds and we talk about baking and sewing, crocheting.
Yeah, everybody tuned in on time saw you putting on your makeup, so you ain't kidding anybody. Yay, grills. Well, I guess with that, it is time for the Geek Grapevine. So someone brought in something about Redwall from Soma Games.
Yes, there is a Redwall game. I don't think it's out yet. I believe it's still in alpha.
Ooh, I love Redwall.
That was my middle school, like, reading. That's how I began the huge, like, into being a book nerd, was through the Redwall series. What's hilarious is one of my friends gave me one of them, and it wasn't the first one. It wasn't Redwall. It was The Outcast of Redwall. So that was the very first one I read, and I was like, this is cool. You keep referencing this other stuff that's happening that I don't know what you're talking about. So then I went and read Redwall, the actual first one, and I was like, this is so neat. And I have it almost the whole series. Collected almost all of them. I just have a whole bookshelf full of Redwall books. So
my introduction was that the animated Redwall was on when my kids were of an age to enjoy it.
That was also good.
It's good.
Yeah.
It was good enough for me to go buy the book, right?
So yeah. So
when the game is scheduled to come out.
The game is supposed to come out. The launch date is still to be decided, but they're thinking probably 9 to 15 months. They're still testing everything.
Does that have an age?
Looks like they have some playable rules out though already.
There is.
So there's like an alpha slice, which is
there
cool.
Is. Yeah, there's an alpha you can play. Like, some of the textures aren't there and some of the story isn't there. But, like, I love that they're ground rules. The first one is the story is sacrosanct. And it gets better. It gets better from there. And I'm like, yay! So I'm looking forward to this coming out. I'm going to keep an eye on it and then probably get it off Steam and download it when it comes out. And I shall be playing that with gusto.
Right on.
Rule number four is food is essential, which I
I
adore.
was just gonna mention that. Like, I think that I forgot that when I used to be a head storyteller for a LARP, and it's like I have 40 players running around being assholes, and I'm like, what? I feel like, oh yeah, I haven't eaten anything because I'm literally just chasing after you nerds.
I used to have, there was a little Redwall Readers Club that I was part of, and I got like a big sheet list of like recipes. It was this really
Yeah, and you can
cool.
like make it fun.
Yeah. I made the deeper and ever beetroot and turnip pie. That's what it was. I made that when I
People
was in like
started to
middle
do
school.
this at like it became a thing because they wanted to have food in the game, and then people were amazing bakers and whatnot, and cook people were just good at putting things together. So there was like this rule that in like the DC zone that like everybody had eat food for free as a merit, so all the vampires could eat, so we could have fancy eating parties when we LARPed. And it was super fun because we were played at a museum that had some really cool art, so it was super awesome.
Cool.
Right on. So I came across this article on Twitter because I'm following I forgot his name again, Reinhardt dude, who was so entertaining at BlizzCon. That adorable man.
I
And
got to meet him. I'm so excited.
well, so he posted this on Twitter, and holy crap, nerds! Good for us. Overwatch. There's an article about Overwatch, and not just Overwatch. Voice actors in Rolling Stone magazine. And it's titled "What Overwatch? What It's Like Being the Beatles of Game Voice Actors." I'm like, holy shit, that's cool. That is so, like, I mean, you'll get more mainstream, and then, like, nerds at the level of people who know who the damn voice actors are, their games and anime, seeing it in the Rolling Stone. So, super great. I have a link to the article in our notes.
That's super awesome.
Yeah.
I just am glad because I always pay attention to the voice actor studio part of BlizzCon. I always love that panel that they do, and I voice work is just incredible. And let's be honest, how many games has it made the difference? Good voice acting, it's what opens up the characters and makes them real for us
Oh,
in a big way. I
Darren
think,
DePaul. I couldn't remember his
yeah,
name, but
Darren
there's a
DePaul. Yep.
video embedded in the article that is entertaining as well.
Yeah, I know. He was really hilarious. Like, that guy was super funny.
Such charisma. And then it
Yeah,
was
I know.
really
He's
adorable.
insane.
I don't know if you followed him on Twitter, but after BlizzCon, like, it seems like everyone who met him at BlizzCon, like, not only selfies, but people were drawing images of him and him as Reinhardt. And just, it's like he was an inspiration to everyone he met. It's adorable. So, Jen, what you got for us in the grapevine?
So this is mostly me conceding to I may have bitched about there being another Ocean's whatever movie, and I had a lot of negative things to say about the fact that that existed. But I watched the first trailer. Go to oceans8movie.com, check it out. Freaking Sandra Bullock is in it.
You sound so resigned.
I am because I hate that it's like the answer to a reboot is we're gonna do the same thing, except this time there's no penises, all vaginas. And you're like, all right, like how is that like worth it to me? But it's I actually think it could be good because they have I mean, let's be honest. Okay, it's Sandra Bullock, Cate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway. Sarah Paulson, which if you don't remember Sarah Paulson, she's from American Horror Story, super incredible. Like, and Helena Bonham Carter is in it. Like,
Oh,
what?
wow.
Like,
Okay.
yeah,
Wow.
just and Rihanna. Why is Rihanna, Helena Bonham Carter, and Sandra Bullock are in the same movie? This is intriguing to me. Anyway, I love Sandra Bullock, so now I have to care about it.
Well, you'll have to let me know. Yeah. Let me know if it stands on its own, because I've never seen a single one of those movies.
Oh, they're actually pretty, like, the first couple are actually pretty good.
Action
it's just
movies
after
are
that,
so far down on my list that I don't get around to many of them. And when I do, it's like ones
it's
that
a
are funny or ridiculous. Yeah, and I'm just like, Sneakers was the best heist movie ever, and I don't care if I ever see another one.
Yes, but anyway, so go check it out, see what you think of the trailer. But yeah, I'm gonna have to pull back on my previous statements. Ah, damn it.
Hey. It happens. We change our minds. So on to our main topic for today. We've been banding this topic around because there's so many tangential topics, and we want to give credence to each thing individually, and it's hard to separate some of these things. But initially, the first one that came to me was I was playing Steam, and I was playing, I think, Left 4 Dead with Part-Time Gamer Guys for that podcast, and I got these notices that I got these cards, and I'm like, cards. So I looked, it was like, you have items. I thought, oh, is it upgrades? Is it weapons? Is it skins? And it was...
Did my weirdo friend buy me some weird game for $3?
Like, I earned some stuff. I'm like, no, it's like a trading card. So I went to my son, I'm like, what is this? Like,
I still don't understand it, but I have 67 cents worth of Steam credit now because of them.
Well, it's like, and there's other stuff we'll get into, but it led from there, this whole idea of a digital item that acts like a physical item, or we treat it like one. And I think the Steam playing cards, I mean, how is it different than, you know, baseball trading cards, or I've got Vampire the Masquerade trading cards.
Or really anything that you collect.
Yeah.
But instead of it having a physical existence, you are literally paying for something that only exists in pixels. Literally.
It's a forced rarity, right? Like, or artificial rarity exists. It's they seem random. I don't know if... It seems like in some games, you're awarded them for reaching certain levels of play, but I don't know... I still don't know if it's
an achievement
random
so
at that, too. Like, you get... Right, that one for an achievement, but I think there's also just, it's almost like getting a pack. Like, you got to this level, so you get three cards.
Yeah. It's like, is it really random, or do they have some sort of algorithm? It's, you know, it's not like actual cards where they only printed, like, 50 of these. It's like, how do you know?
Yeah, true.
There's, like, a forced rarity, because people do trade them for real money.
Yeah, I saw cards. That. I was like, what?
So it's like, I thought that's weird. Like, what kind of completionist do you have to pay that much money for, like, something that is a fake card? But then, as I know Jen understands, how much money have you spent on World of Warcraft pets and mounts?
You can't have that. Like, we're not going to try to quantify that. I mean, I could probably go back through my eBay history.
I thought about going to look.
Get
I don't
some
know.
Idea. It's bad. Like, I don't want to know. eBay. Well, I've done eBay because some of the... Okay, so for those of you that don't play World of Warcraft, in World of Warcraft, you have these vanity pets. They used to serve exactly zero purpose. They literally were just a little critter or thing that would follow you, and they were super cute, and I'm a big fucking nerd. So when I started playing WoW, I started collecting them, and it was because the first ones I interacted with... I was an enchanter, and I had, like, hooked up with this dude who, not hooked up with, that's a bad way of putting it, I basically was his enchanter, and he was, like, a high-level player, so basically he would pay me gold to do all of his enchants all the time, and that's what basically was my beginning of my enchanting career on that server. And so one time, as a tip, he gave me this cat, And I was like, what is this? And it's like, oh my God, it's a kitten and it follows me everywhere. This is adorable. It's ridiculous. This silver fucking cat. What the hell? And I was like, where did this come from? He's like, oh no, I bought it from the crazy cat lady. And I'm like, what? And there's like literally a crazy cat lady character in the freaking game that you can go buy these stupid pets from. So of course I go and I buy them. And then I find out later that there's some cat.
And those are virtual gold, to be clear.
Yeah, virtual gold. Everything's virtual gold. Just fake WoW money. And so I found out that there were ones that you couldn't get unless you were Horde, because they were only on the Horde side, and that was a whole thing. So it was crazy. But anyway, so that's how it all started. And then I found out that you could find them in other places. So I started collecting them. Fast forward, fast forward, fast forward. Then we could start buying them. They started selling them as like a charity thing. Like, oh, this is the cute kitten that you can buy.
That's
to support
how I have
whatever.
Most often justified buying a pet.
Yeah, exactly.
The charity
every year.
One, periodically.
Every year
every
they
year.
Do one. Usually in December, they do a charity pet. It's become like a regular thing. But anyway, now they do serve some purpose because you can actually battle them and you can have Waukimon now. So now they have a purpose. But the reality is, for a long fucking time, they didn't. And I actually not only went through great lengths to collect them in-game, but I had to go and find the ones that you had to get in different ways. I paid real money, usually on eBay, to purchase the old WoW trading card games that had the scratchers that gave you the in-game pets.
I have one of those. I have Landro's Little XT. And I got it out of a WoW pack before the game was obsolete. I found the card in a pack.
I did have one that I got in a pack from back when I played the WoW trading card game, but all the rest I bought. And just to give some perspective, my battle pet collection is very extreme. I have the top 50 collection on every WoW server that I'm attached to because it's account wide now. So this is a real problem for me because then they're like, here's a new pet. And I'm like, fuck, because they're like $10 each unless they're on sale. So I think about how many I've bought over the, I've spent hundreds of dollars on little pixelated critters.
Most of what I have are ones earned in game.
Me too, or the ones that I farm, totally, but the fact that I go out of my way... Like,
that's another way they suck in, because there's achievements for collecting, although I don't think any of the achievements have paid pets in...
Yes, they do. The one that you get, the cat achievement for collecting cats that are battle pets, gives you Mr. Bigglesworth, who's killed Jaden's cat, which is adorable, but half of the cats on, or not half, but... Several of the cats on there are ones that came from the trading card game specifically. And that's actually how I managed to achieve it.
I don't know how I got it because I didn't buy it.
Because you don't have to have all of them.
Okay.
You have to have a certain number of the total that are available.
I went crazy with like getting all the achievements, going to every land and collecting all the pets to get the achievements and then going. Then they have the raiding with leashes where you go do raids and then you only get a chance at the drop of the pet. So you're going and running the same thing.
But I ran Mount Hyjal for a year and a half to get my stupid friggin' wisp. Yeah, no, absolutely. So normally, you earn it and that's like purposeful. But what's crazy is that I literally have contemplated buying. There's a Murloc that I don't have. Every year for BlizzCon, except for this year because Blizzard wanted to piss me off, you get a Murloc that's available with the BlizzCon ticket. You either get the virtual ticket, but back in the day, it was the physical ticket. And so the first one I didn't get, which was Grunty the Murloc Space Marine from 2009. I could buy him right now for $250 on eBay is the cheapest one. There has been moments in my life where I have contemplated the purchasing of that so that I could complete my collection. That is disgusting. And that's the thing. It's like, I have this collection, but like, whereas my dad spends hundreds of dollars on baseball cards, funny that you should mention that, he's got binders of them. He could show them to somebody. I literally would have to be like, hey guys, let me show you my WoW pet collection. I've got these ones here. And they're all they're electronic. They don't even exist. If WoW disappears, my collection disappears, which just blows my mind.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I thought was interesting about this idea. Like, I mean, Steam has there's a billion games on it. You're going to be playing something. Mm-hmm. You can always trade them all off because you're playing a new game. But like with our WoW collections, I mean, I got some mounts. Like my son bought for Christmas one year,
freaking
the
mounts.
Fairy Dragon, right? Because mounts are like $20. Uh-huh. I've never purchased a mount for myself, mm-hmm. but I've received them as gifts. And it's like, oh wow, it's really nice. And then I feel like every time I consider letting my subscription lapse, I feel weird about like there's this investment that would just poof. I mean, I could always go back and they'd be there, but it's just weird for it to be digitally attached to one thing. You can't even like download some kind of like,
or when your account gets wrongfully banned for 6 months.
Oh, I mean, I just. It's just so strange to think about having an investment in something that's completely digital.
Well, that's interesting, actually. The whole getting the account, your account getting banned, or just anyone getting their account banned. If someone has sunk a lot of money, that's a really
hard blow. Yeah,
well,
they accused me of botting and gold farming. I just, honestly, I was making a lot of gold by getting extra battle pets from doing all the runs I was doing every week, and then I would level them up because I'm a nerd, and then I would sell them for like 30,000 gold on the auction house, and so it made me look like I was like, it made me, I don't know.
You spent enough time doing it to look like a bot? Damn.
It wasn't just that, but it was basically that I know how to read the auction house. That was the game for me. Wow. Okay. That there was like the sub game was my ability to play the auction house, but I think the other one that I've sunk a lot of money into, and this is a problem, is I'm susceptible to this shit, which is why I have to be careful, because like League of Legends did it to me too, because in League of Legends, you straight up, you have no way to earn a skin. There's no like, oh, earn a free loot box to get your Overwatch skin chance, right? No, it's straight up like you want your skin, you buy it. Or you buy it for your friends or whatever, or friends buy it for you. But it's all paid. And I have done that where I'm like, okay, my hero that I'm going to play, I want her to look like she's an infernal baker instead of like her normal like fallen angel demon lady. But I have paid stupid amounts of money to have my character skins. It doesn't affect the gameplay. It doesn't affect my performance. It literally is just, look at me, I'm cool, and spent real money on this game.
That actually reminds me of, I used to play a whole bunch of, there's a mobile game called, it was in the Angry Birds thing, but it was Angry Birds Transformers. And you could, you know, when you went around the island, you know, doing levels, you would get new characters. You would unlock new characters up until a certain point. And then after a certain point, the only way to unlock new characters is to play the game obsessively until you get enough diamonds or gems or whatever they were to buy it with the gems. Or you could go and buy the gems with real money so you could get all the new characters without having to obsessively play the game. And since I am a casual gamer, I just stopped playing because I'm like, I'm never going to get a new character
in
this game.
Yeah, that's very much like the mobile game pay-to-play model that, you know, has gone on.
The freemium mobile games.
Yeah.
Those are dangerous. I had one where I like paid where it's like, oh, but you can renew your lives for $1.99, and I'm like, get off my phone.
I have shown great restraint and very proud of myself with Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go is the only one I've dropped $5 on here and there.
I've managed to not spend any money on Pokemon Go because I'm just like, you know what? I'm okay with only having one incubator. I'm okay with just getting what comes to me.
Yeah, and I haven't spent any money on their cosmetic items.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a special event. I need more. I spent it on bag space primarily. Like, the first time I spent money on it was when I was going to D.C. for a field trip with my son. And there's a stop. There's three stops a block in D.C. And I did not have, I mean, I had the beginning space, whatever it is, for catching and spinning, and it was just not going to do. It was like kind of wrapped into my trip expense. Like, I need to up my bag space because I'm not going to be sitting around and evolving, or I'm not like spending all that time in the game. I'm engaging with like my son and I'm chaperoning. But I wanted to be able to collect all that stuff, and there are Pokemon that don't pop around here. So I think I dropped maybe $15 that weekend, and
you know,
my bag space for a shitload.
So Okay, so two things. One, just to put into some perspective, this is the one that still drives me nuts, is that out of all the WoW scratchers that you can scratch to get a digital mount, a pixel mount,
Oh, the
currently on
saber.
eBay, the Spectral
Spectral
Tiger
Tiger.
is the most expensive one. Just to give some perspective, the buyout price right now is $1,399.99, but it has free shipping. So
Why?
that's good. Yeah, so
Yeah, the
that's good.
Spectral Tiger,
It's
it's the most rare one. You can't get it
not
anymore at all any
real.
other way. And I mean, that one was expensive while they were still making the cards that
Yeah,
you could get
absolutely. It
it
was
from.
like $150 when they were still making the cards.
Free
But
shipping.
so I don't
Yeah.
sound
So
so
how do you think it
crazy.
affects the
Does
status?
anybody?
Jen,
Why?
because
Okay.
that's what I think this is about. I think, like with TF2, the only
Oh,
cosmetic item
yeah,
they
totally.
had for a while was a hat. And then it became this thing. So even though they have a whole marketplace with real money and fake money and trading and games, items and whatever, the hats are still status in that game. It became a thing. And like
Oh,
some
yeah, I
red
think with
fucking
League
hat
of
that I got
Legends,
a
it's.
physical version of in a loot crate. But in WoW, we have more experience with that. And there's like,
I
when you
think
get a
League of
really rare
Legends is
mount,
actually
you
where I
use it a
would say
while
it's bigger.
and you
And where it
show it
comes to like a
off.
status thing, because a lot of times there were skins that were only available for like a limited time. So if you were playing that character and you bought it, it shows like I was playing League of Legends back in 2011 or 2010 or 2009, because I have skins that I bought back then that you can. Sometimes they'll do like an event where they'll resurge
Okay.
it or whatever, but for the most part, those skins that you're buying are sometimes only available during that event, and that's that. So that's definitely the status side of it. But also, aside from that, I think there's always the oh, well, we're playing against literally sometimes we would judge what the team we were up against by how many skins there were on the other team. If we were playing a five stack versus a five stack on League of Legends, you'd be like, well, shit, we know we're kind of screwed because everybody's at least playing a character that they have skinned. That means that they've probably played it enough to care about having a skin for it. Now, that's not always the case. Sometimes you get a skin and you just happen to, somebody bought it for you or it came in a bundle with other skins. But for the most part, if your character has a character skin, you probably played that character enough to be like, I want to have the shiny purple duper dupe for the character. And so that actually did always come up in conversation. We would make the joke, like, oh, well, it's a foreskin team. We're screwed. Like, literally.
Jen,
And for, no. I'm
that's the
saying that
best play
it's a
on
pun
words.
absolutely intended, by the way.
The
That's one of
episode
my
title right
favorites.
there. Uh-oh, it's the foreskin
Yay!
team. We're screwed.
That is my favorite. Pun
And
intended.
I'm spelling it
Yes, it's got to be
foreskin.
four space skin.
Oh no, I'm spelling it the other way. Come on now.
I know. You gotta let people
I'll
figure it
decide. We'll think about it.
out. But yeah, but the point is that, like, absolutely, there's a status aspect to it too. But like, that's the thing that really gets me is that I like to have my stuff look a certain way, and these artists do such good jobs at making it really pretty or interesting, and they do so many cool things that it makes you want to own that mount. Like, for example, some of the mounts, like the one you mentioned, the Enchanted Fae Dragon or whatever, I like that one because it like changes color, and like when you go into different zones, it's like pretty. And if I'm going to stare at the character's ass flying on something for a while, at least it might as well be shiny and pretty. But it really, it's interesting how much money gets spent on this. But I like how you were talking about investing.
And
One thing I
you'll.
will say, I almost sold my account a few times, and some of the things that I own on my account were the reason that if I wanted to sell my WoW account, I could actually sell it for quite a bit more just because of some of the things that I have in my
But Jen
collection.
would never do such a thing because it's against the terms of service.
I would never do such a thing, but
Never.
technically it's not against the terms of service, technically. But
Anyway.
I would never do it. But that was also back in the day. I would never do it now. It's mine. I'm gonna keep it forever.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep mine forever too. So, but do you feel in game, like I tend to show off? I'm not as completionist as you, and I haven't spent that much money on them. But like, I've got that fox mount, and I know you have that fox mount too. But I just got lucky where
Cover my
I got the
shame.
drop. No, don't be. It's your thing, man. If you're gonna be a completionist, go for it. If that's what that's what you wanna do. I have. We've talked about it before in private. Like, I've got like poverty guilt because I'm used to I have trouble. I have to justify every little thing, and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm gonna spend like, I mean,
Yeah,
the charity
when you
mounts
grow
I can, or
older,
the
you're
charity
like, what am
pets I
I
can do
doing?
that. But I, like I said, I've never bought a mount for myself, but like my son and my husband bought them for me because they know I really want it, but I'll never do that because $20 is a lot of groceries because I'm real good at pinching and I can't, I can't make my brain do it. But, like I got really lucky with that Fox mount and I don't get lucky often and I ride it everywhere now. And ones that I earned, like I had to do the Achieve and all that bullshit to get whatever Petter mount.
Oh, I rock my Mr. Biggles Raid
one where, like, I got the whole guild together to do the guild achievement, and so we all have that mount. Like, I feel like I have a pride and I'm more prone to show those off, but there's definitely people I think who show off. I mean, if I had a Spectral Tiger, I might be embarrassed, but I think everybody else who has one is riding that sucker around because they do
justify it. I would never ride anything else, ever. In fact, I'm not going to lie, I may have exchanged 35 real US dollars at one time to a guildmate of mine for services rendered, making my archaeology sandstone drink mount. that
I've
might
got
have happened.
That. Sweetie, I got that potion. What are you?
What? That was years ago. That was
I
years
ground
ago.
Like
that
a bugger, too, though. I ground, yeah, that was like back people were paying real money for that. And this is something I know. Linda doesn't do World of Warcraft, but that's another mount that. It's actually, you can turn into a dragon as a mount and you can give someone a ride. But it is this ridiculously long grind of doing archaeology and just digging and digging and digging until you get the right items to even learn, if you have that skill, how to make the potion. And then to make them, it's a good amount of in-game gold for the bats that you have to go to the other end of the earth to get. And people will give you money to do this.
Yes, but that is you or somebody. Like you said, Jen, that you paid someone in your guild. You're not paying the game. You're paying your friend.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. But I definitely want to say that the fact that I paid real money.
Yeah.
I did pay real money for something that literally only exists in a game. So it's still
this
concept.
This is true.
If your guild
will
charge you for that.
Yeah.
You're paying for their time.
Your guild.
You're paying for their time.
Yeah, that's true. Their time and their effort and their, that's true. I like that. See, that's a good way of justifying it. No, I will say I am a little bit of a completionist, but I do also think about it. And it's like, people like collecting things. I feel like a lot of people collect things. And it's just the difference is that I like to collect the things where I spend a lot of my time. Exactly. Yeah, like I collect things that are of interest, right? And I spend a lot of time in World of Warcraft. Now, lately I haven't because Blizzard keeps being buttholes and making really cool other games, which is making my life very difficult because I can't play all the games and WoW. But
Blizzard does
a
great job with this particular topic too.
Oh god, I mean, the amount of pets,
the amount of
like, oh, announcement,
earning,
here's my
finding hold on, earning, finding, achieving to get them. I do want to mention Lil because this hasn't come up in a long time, but my most recently adopted cat that we got a few years ago, Lil, is named after a Warcraft pet. There's a kitten that you can get from this little boy that runs around in Stormwind, but he only sells it once a day. And this was like a farming. My son would get up earlier than me in the morning to get ready for school, and he would run into Stormwind, and he would try to catch little Timmy, because it's little Timmy's kitten, and get the cat. So we would, like, different times a day, server flip over, like, trying to get this kitten, and got me that kitten. And then we ended up, we got a little white kitten, and we named her Lil. After little Timmy's kitten.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you. Like, I really enjoy the ones that I worked very hard. That when the unborn Valkyr pet came out, she's like a little Valkyr, but she's unborn because lore nerd moment. But you become a full Valkyr when you kill a member of, like, a noble person. So she's unborn because she's like a nice little safe.
Oh,
uncorrupted,
God, that's right.
Valkyr.
That pain in the ass because she hardly ever popped. Only in a
there's
snowstorm
an
in North.
An entire
Northland,
zone.
Right?
Yeah. She only spawns in Northrend, and there is only ever one active at any time, and it could only, there's a potential to have three active at the same time, but only three zones at a time would spawn her over a 4 to 6 hour period, and then you would have to fly through each of the zones and figure out if you could find her. And then what was super cool is while you try to catch her, one of her abilities is to kill herself to boost your team. So when you have a team of battle pets, that totally makes sense. When you're trying to catch a battle pet that randomly kills herself after you spent 4.5 million hours trying to find her, it is not cool.
Oh, it's the kit I was thinking of. There was like a fox kit that showed up during snowstorms. My biggest one was the Minfernal.
Bananas.
Oh. Infernal, and I like carved a character
a very
there.
Long time.
Yeah, and there was this one area it would only pop in, and then like you would have to get an add-on, and I'm not big on add-ons, but I had an add-on to catch all these pets because that's the only way you're gonna know when they're showing up. And they would always like, oh, there's stuff in that area, and you go over there, and it was tainted rats. When I finally fucking caught one, I named that sucker Tainted Rat.
Like, no, but like honestly, it's a pain in the ass. Like some of these, but like I guess we're just talking about pixel collections at this point. But it is nuts. Yeah. Like I literally, there's a website, warcraftpets.com. That's the one I've used for years because it's the one that tracks best, like the rankings. It tracks how you get the pets. But it's incredible to me when I stop and think about it, and I feel like kind of a crazy person when I really think about it. But I have. Literally, it was a big deal. Like I was all about collecting the pets, and not just the little pets, but I had a hunter character, and there was unique pets that you could find in the world. Like and then you could tame them, and they would become your like your fighting pet. But I would look for those too, and it's interesting how you know they were just as important to me as maybe a physical collection would be to somebody who does collect something like baseball cards. I mean, my dad is like. He's an adult male, you know, obviously, my father, who has a room full of freaking cards. And he, like, buys them from, like swap meets and then, like, puts them in binders. And there's, like, organizing and all this crap that happens. And anyway, I don't feel so bad about it when I think about what other people have done for their collections. At the same time, it is crazy to think about the fact that if Blizzard disappeared and Warcraft disappeared, my collection would literally disappear.
And I think about like the Steam cards, like the volatility of it is something that I don't think I could ever justify investing in the way that like at least, you know, with the stuff and while I've collected, I'm getting some enjoyment out of it, right? Whether I'm showing it off or I'm riding it around, that pets could actually battle was like a wonderful thing. Cause we
oh, I know, that was great. Maybe feel
but,
justified.
Like, I think trading cards on Steam... Because the price is going to go up and down. And what happens, those games aren't as long-lasting. And you're not just going to sit and look at it. Like, I've bought, like I said, I have Sandman cards. Well, for the rest of my life, I'm going to go through those now and again. Right? Mm-hmm. Actually, it's interesting. I will bring up a former guest, my friend Barney, who will come up again later this episode. Lots of shout-outs. He's really into wrestling. And at a flea market, I found a binder, I think it was like two Christmases ago, of like complete sets of old school, like they still said WWF cards. And I was like, I haggled with the guy. I was like, I have to have these for my friend. You don't understand. I don't give a shit. They're not worth much to me, but I left. I came back. I looked around. I checked to see if he had them yet. Like, and I ended up getting that as you know for Barney as a gift. So I understand collecting physical things, but not something as volatile as like a Team Fortress or Left 4 Dead, like some kind of game I played and might not even have a sequel. Like then it's just gonna crash, and you spent your money on what?
Well, I don't know. I went through and I played Resident Evil 5 recently because Ventura bought it for me. Or did he buy it for me? I had it. We played it. Anyway, I got cards for it and I actually sold a couple of those cards. I'm like, that game is old. So it's interesting how some of them kind of seem to... How the whole thing doesn't make any sense to me. Linda, do you pay for customizations in-game? Have you ever paid for just cosmetic items and like just digital cosmetic items?
I've managed not to to pay... real monies, but the same, the Angry Birds Transformers, you could get little add-ons for your characters. Like, I forget what they were called, like kibble. You could put extra things on your characters that give you boosts and things like that. And so I never got enough of those gems to buy a character, but I would get enough before the timer ran out that I could buy like upgrades. So I would.
So you're a fan of the I will find the hard work method for getting the items that I want.
Right now, I haven't found like a game that I'm super like super duper into. I really like Slime Rancher, but I haven't seen any customization that you can buy with real money in that one yet.
But you get cards in that, right?
But I do get cards, and I haven't
used in any Steam trading of that. Because I understand not, that's a real popular game right now.
Not yet. I might, though, because I also played Human Fall Flat, and I've got cards from there, and I've got some duplicates. So I thought I might go in and figure out if I can do it by using duplicate cards until I, you know, either it's like it or I don't.
Somebody can write in and tell us, or I can ask my kids, like, where I can look up current values on that stuff. And
I think they have it listed.
What it's sold, but there are people that actually like game the system and know, like the same way people work the WoW auction house. But it's definitely something that I think, you know, over time. Yeah, I don't know. That does blow my mind. But then again, I understand the battle pet currency. Like I get, like I know what battle pets I have that I have extras of that I can then sell.
But
so
I hear crazy stories different. About drops in games, too, and ones where you have economies where you can just sell drops that, the amount of money, real money.
I mean, to be honest, I had one pet drop that happened. I farmed this stupid Crimson Whelpling for a fucking decade, and I finally got it. And on the day that I got it, I literally went back through there just to kill the whelps again, just because I was like, fuck you, whelps. Why are, like, stupid freaking things and never give them my Crimson Whelp?
I'm missing.
And I had a second fucking Crimson Whelp drop.
I think that's the one.
Literally within 45 minutes. And I sold that for about, at that time, it was probably 400,000 gold that I sold that for, which is a pretty significant amount at the time. That
well,
was
see,
back...
And then now that we have WoW tokens, that's
I could literally
real money. That's a couple months of your sub.
I honestly, for a while, I didn't really pay real money for my sub because I was just using my hard earned battle pet money.
Well, it's getting to be like Bitcoin.
Basically,
I wonder
like,
sometimes if that's how it came up. Well, the idea, except no, it's really just paranoid people with this technology. Like, I can't believe they're trying to mainstream something. So, I mean, well, that's another
that's a topic we need to talk about for sure.
We'll add it to the list.
Covered paying for pixels. We'll definitely, I think, talk about cryptocurrency sometime. I think we want to seek an expert in the field. If you have a suggestion, let us know. I know we want to talk about loot boxes, but it's been covered to death recently. Our opinions are still worth hearing. We know it, and we're going to talk about that at some point, too. So those are the other things that related we couldn't quite fit in today in talking about paying for pixels and being screwed by
somebody first write in and tell me that you collect something as obsessively as I do and make me feel less bad, please. Send us an email, please.
There's gotta be you should see my comic books. Let's just
You can see my pops behind me. I've just started my collection of pops. They're right there. Right
I had
there.
To cut myself off of the pops, man. Yeah, piles of those too. Fabrics. I'm trying for fabrics to not become a problem in beads. That's why I make things and sell them.
Yeah. Like, you can't see my yarn stash. My yarn stash
I'm not
is
allowed.
Over there.
Oh god,
my yarn
stash would
be a serious
terrifying
problem, just like fabric. Like, I won't let myself go look at fabric unless it's for a specific thing because there's always gonna be something beautiful. So anyway, please chime in by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com or giving us a ring at 508-474-5577. So, Grills, what are you most anticipating right now? And I can't page down on my notes, so you guys are on your own.
It's me. That's good. We're going to go have dinner on Saturday. Ventura's birthday is this weekend, so I picked a restaurant in town that I haven't been to. It's kind of cool. I think it's kind of fancy. So I got a reservation. That should be fun. My friend and I confirmed that we're going to be going to Belize the end of March. So I've been working on... That's really been my focus. Damn. Like planning everything and like figuring out what we're going to do, where we're going to stay, what all the hostel we want to go to, all that crap. I also scheduled the date to get my tattoo done towards the end of February. So Hooray! Lots of things
Yay.
to planning that are like not happening soon, but then also really, I don't know, to this, I'm really just looking forward to a chill fucking weekend. I took an extra day this weekend, so I have Saturday off when I normally work on Saturdays. So I was like, I always work on Mondays, and holidays are always Mondays. So I told my work, I need a 3-day weekend, or I'm gonna go crazy. I'm already crazy, so that's dangerous. So give me a day. No, so I'm looking forward to my 3-day weekend this weekend for sure.
Cool. Well, our glitter dice recording got moved from last Saturday because somebody got strep and didn't want to share it, which I'm very grateful
Thank
for.
you. Thank you for not
Yeah.
sharing.
So we are recording this Saturday, our regular kind of episode, and then Saturday after that we're going to be doing Monster Hearts as Glitter Dice Plays. So it's going to be a big super recording of like 4 or 5 hours of us being monsters, teenage monsters in a soap opera, I think. I don't know. I'm playing the witch, so that should be hilarious. The whole thing with Monster Hearts is that you have like a hotness meter, like literally on your character sheet. And that's how you like seduce people into doing stuff for you. It's very like High School Musical.
Wow. Interesting. Actually,
very
it reminds
interesting.
me of Monster High Dolls,
Yes,
is what it
that
makes me
too.
think of.
Depending
Oh my
on,
God.
I mean, I don't think we're gonna make it like R-rated or anything like that, but it should be entertaining. And then this Saturday also, or Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever the 27th is. The Rennies of the Georgia Renaissance Festival that I know are putting on a burlesque variety show called A Whole Lot of Ankle. And
Yay.
it's going to be at Shakespeare's Tavern, which is a tiny replica of the Globe Theater in downtown Atlanta. It's basically going to be a benefit show for, let's see, Rescue, RESCU, which is an organization that helps with medical fees for Renfair like participants, because I don't think any of them have like insurance. So that is going to go. I think this one is specifically for one person who has. He just. I think he had just had surgery, or he's going to have surgery. So this show is basically to raise money for him. So we're gonna. If I can't make it, I'll at least donate the $20 that a ticket would cost. And because I,
Awesome.
yeah.
Right on.
That sounds like a good cause.
Jen, take over, man. I'm stuck.
Well, Ember, what are you looking forward to?
Oh,
You're looking
yeah.
forward to not being stuck anymore?
Yeah. Like Chrome freaking out. What else? I don't know what is with Chrome. It's
I don't know.
I
It's
think
the
Skype
internet.
and Chrome got married and they're just having problems.
Having problem children.
Hey.
I don't know.
Say hello, Katie.
I'm not looking forward to much. I'm just
It's the
I don't
winter. It's like the weird time right now. It's funny. Last week, every
Oh,
client I
okay. I
talked
know.
to
I'm
was like
looking
grumpy pants. So it's been a crazy pants week, man.
I just spent all my spoons today on other people's tasks. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to finally. I have episode 2 and 3 of Phoenix in my comics and didn't get one. I was at the comic book store this week and kind of rearranging and figuring out a couple things I missed. So I'm looking forward to getting those. That'll be super nice. And Valentine's Day is coming, so I'm working on what to order for that. Planning for the TMS meetup in April. Oh my God, I'm in Vegas for the first time.
Oh yeah, I did get the days
Yay!
off, so I get to go. Yay.
Curtis's
Y'all have
going.
fun. I gotta save up my PTO for MomoCon, PAX Unplugged, and what was the other one? DragonCon.
I might go to Dragon Con this year, so we'll have to talk
Ooh,
about
can meet up
that.
for dinner or something.
And it's like not
I can take
far
you to the
from
Night
here,
Attack live
so
recording where you can hang out with crazy people. Woo!
it's close enough to here, Grills, that I could get a wild hair and show up for that.
Ooh,
I
that'd be
tend to have
fun.
friends that are like security there and things, so
Yeah,
it's weird. I
plan on being a
haven't
Diamond
gone.
Club hobo and finding a place to sleep.
Exactly. I'm totally willing to surf Couch surfs with Diamond Club people, which...
Kitty, you can sit up.
As long as I bring gin, we're good.
My cat just tried to step on my keyboard. Okay, off you go. Sorry. You come down to Atlanta. I actually live close enough that I can commute to DragonCon if I wanted to. I don't usually because I kind of like the convention experience.
Oh, geez. Trebizzle's there too now.
She's making plans.
I'm having trepidation too about like all of a sudden I'm traveling a lot without my husband and I'm a little freaked out. We have a real good history with absence. Make the heart go fonder. His band is going for a week at the end of this month to record an album. In Orlando area. And then in April, I'm going out to Vegas and he feels like he can't go because he might need to do a gig, and then they got a gig in Virginia Beach and I'm not going up for that, and I don't know, this all feels kind of weird. So, okay, what's next? Patreon!
Remember, guys, patreon.com/grills. We are wholly supported by our Patreon. So we love you, patrons. You guys are the best. I know some of you even have felt the need to improve your support to us, and we thank you very kindly for those adjustments. So even if you are currently a patron, you can always up the pledge if you'd like.
Thanks,
but also
Barney,
new...
you're the best.
Thanks,
exactly.
Barney.
Hint, hint, Barney. but also, if you would like to become a patron, you can do that. Yeah, Geek Grills. Geekgrills.com has our link, but also patreon.com/grills will take you right to our Patreon page.
And iTunes reviews. We love them. Leaving a review is free, and they help our ranking on iTunes, which helps other people find us, which is good. We don't have any new ones this week, so please leave us reviews, because then I can read them and, you know, coo over how nice you are, hopefully. Please be nice. or be mean. I don't care. You can also join our Facebook.
Anyway.
Yeah, we'll read it anyway. You can also join our Facebook page, and you can follow us on Twitter if you want to help spread the word. You know, tweet out for us or about us. Yay!
Yay!
Ooh, so, where can we find y'all on the interwebs?
You can listen to me also on the Glitter Dice podcast, talk about women in gaming. And you can find me on Twitch under the name True Noob. I'm actually going to be probably streaming tonight after we're done with this stream, which doesn't matter for the podcast people listening to this later. But if you're listening to us live, you can watch me finish up the little Ivysaur, hopefully. I might not finish it. I might just get some done that I want to work on.
Yay! That's good, though. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at TheGenSays, streaming at twitch.tv/TheGenPlays. And to catch all the things, I have finally put some links up at roadspillproductions.com. So you can check out that link now, too. Hooray.
Yay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that was happening. So you can find me at 9of12 on Twitter and Twitch, and hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game!
Yay! Bye-bye!
Good game, GG!
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 If you enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes, or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com, or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.